Hello, and welcome back to another episode of You Can Survive, Let's Talk About Cancer. I'm your host, Arzu, a cancer survivor, as well as cancer champion for the patient-led charity, the Yorkshire Cancer Community. I'm also part of the Cancer Smart Initiative, which is an exciting opportunity to help tackle cancer and its associated inequalities in West Yorkshire and Harrogate. In particular, we're looking at how we can help improve outcomes of cancer patients through early diagnosis and screening and provision of preventative advice. On today's episode, we're specifically going to be talking about a very common cancer that affects many people in the UK, and that is breast cancer. We're hoping to dedicate this episode to increasing awareness and education on breast cancer as well as screening, and I am very pleased to be joined by a specialist in this particular area who takes pride in promoting health, particularly in women. So without further ado, welcome to the podcast, Julie.
Hi there, Arzu. So yeah, so I've been specialised in breast screening since 1996. I am a mammographer, and so I have met many as a woman and tried to share tips and pointers about being breast aware. My current role is health promotion now, so I get out into the community and talk to groups, men and women, mixed groups, primarily women, and as much as we can, non-English speaking groups or groups from quieter, more traditional communities where there may be lacking knowledge, because the whole idea is that if you raise awareness about something or share information and educate, then people are better able to make decisions for their own self-care.
Absolutely. And, you know, I completely agree with everything you said and the fact that you're trying to reach out to as many people in the local community so that they can, you know, practice that self-care that we're really wanting to emphasize today. And I think it'd be really nice if we could just give our listeners a general overview of breast cancer and its sort of incidence in the UK and the kind of groups that are mainly affected by it. Would you like to start off by talking about that?
Yeah, that's lovely. You can keep me on track, quite happy. So statistic-wise, the quoted one is 1 in 8 or 1 in 7 women over their lifetime are likely to develop breast cancer.
Yeah.
80% of breast cancers amongst women occur in women who are over 50 years old, because your biggest risk factors for breast cancer are being a woman and getting older. Can't do anything else. Family history comes along next, but that's 1 out of every 4 or 5 cases is family history related. The majority are not connected to family history. You can reduce your risk by being a healthy BMI, by exercising according to government guidelines, by keeping within the alcohol limit for government guidelines, breastfeeding, if that's an option for you, if you're the right age and everything. They all reduce your risk. But that only reduces, you cannot prevent it at the moment. So that's still a whole long way away. So the biggest thing to do is try to get women to be breast and chest aware. And the menfolk too, so that if they notice something unusual or something different, they can get it checked out. But a lot of women are scared to sort of go, or, you know, I don't want to find, you know, you hear people say, I don't want to find out. And you have to sort of say, well, what I liken it to is if you live in a house and you see a brown stain in your ceiling, you know that's a water leak. Now, you can ignore that. It might just sit there for ages. It might not, you know, but what's happening is it is getting worse, but you just don't
see.
And eventually it might come to the stage you have to get it fixed. And actually it's going to cost you a lot more money because you've left it longer.
Yeah.
What I like to say is about with disease, mostly if you get it caught early, early detection, which is a phrase we use, your treatment options are much better.
Definitely. just to echo what you've said, you know, 80% of cases are seen in women over the age of 50 years because advancing age is one of those risk factors. However, that does not mean that younger women don't get affected or men don't get affected, because that is something that we also see, even if it's rare. For example, in men, breast cancer can affect both men and women. So I just wanted to like reiterate that point. And again, as you said, early screening, it basically saves lives. And that's one of the key messages of the Cancer Smart Project here at the Yorkshire Cancer Community, in partnership with the West Yorkshire and Harrogate Cancer Alliance. We really want to make people aware that getting that cancer detected earlier and receiving treatments earlier, hopefully less harsher treatments because it's picked up at an early stage, it just means that you're going to have a higher probability of more long-term survival and better overall prognosis as well.
That's right. And then a lot of people sort of say, you're right, it's younger. And unfortunately, with the younger person and with men, they're not looking for breast cancer in them. So they tend and later, which means then that that may reduce treatment options. The older you are, the quicker you are. You're more life aware. You're more quicker getting attention. Sometimes, not always, but yeah, generally. But we know young women, they're not looking for breast cancer, so often they don't get referred on. And young women can put it off. Younger women can say, well, I've had cysts, or it's just the same, I've had a cyst, it'll be just another cyst, and they don't go. That lump or cyst or something wasn't there last month, so please get it, it's a new one, get it checked out, don't just assume it's okay. If you think from a doctor's point of view or a nurse's point of view, we'd much rather say, yeah, that's nothing to worry about, it's just something, rather than saying, oh, I'm really sorry, you know, to have to share.
Exactly.
So, you know, from our point of view, we'd much rather say, yeah, do come along. Yeah, that's fine. Glad you got it checked out. If anything else changes, please come along, which is a really good message. It's much more positive.
Absolutely. Definitely. And even on the NHS website, it says that 9 out of 10 women who do notice a lump in their breast, it isn't cancer. So you'd rather actually be, you know, the person who goes to the GP to get themselves checked, because it's better to be safe than sorry. And it may be that you could be that 1 in 10 person who does have that cancer in their breast. And if you just ignored it, then it's sort of long-term regret of not, you know, taking care of your body and not seeking that help, which was available to you in the first place.
Yeah, because a lot of people treat their bodies really well. You know, people go on these special diets and then, I heard a lovely phrase. People love to believe anybody before a doctor or a scientist. And you read it, it's full of the internet, it's full of that. Oh, if you drink this and eat this, you'll be fine.
Actually, yeah.
It's really just down to the very basics. Know your body. And if something is different, get it checked out. Mm-hmm. You might hear us both say that again. So you asked me earlier when we were talking about this, about what are the signs of breast cancer? Yeah,
absolutely.
So let's go to, did you know, if I had 12 fingers, there are 12 signs of breast cancer. And a really good website is the out of many websites, but one of them is knowyourlemons.com. And that's, they have a dozen lemons in an egg box with different signs and symptoms. So I could list all 12 for you, or it might be easier if I just said, know what's normal for you, and then you'll know when something's different. But they can be like a lump. Everybody knows a lump. You can see or feel it. So if you look at your boobs, you might see them have a different shape. A really common one that people miss is a dimple. Babies have dimples. Boobs should never have dimples. Okay, so even a small dimple, that should not be there. Please get it checked out. Then you can get redness or changes in the skin texture. A sore or something that won't go away. Another one is what we call the orange peel effect. So your boob isn't orange, but over a shortish time, you might see around the nipple area and the skin around that becomes like the end of an orange. It becomes all dimpled and crinkled like an orange. And I have seen that where a lady's come for well woman breast screening and she's taken her kit off. And I saw straight away, because it was an advanced sign. But she says, no, everything's the same. I haven't noticed any difference. And a lot of women put it down to, well, it's just changes of age. I'm getting older. That's what it looks like. No.
Yeah.
Your boobs will look as good as they do today when you're 50. They may just be a bit fuller because that's happened as well. And gravity might have won. But otherwise, they'll still look soft and smooth and round. And you can see dimples. So it's any changes. So an easy way for looking for changes is, also, do you go into the shower? Do you shower or bath?
I shower, yeah. Shower.
And do you put soap in your hand or do you use a scrunchie?
I usually put soap in my hand.
Brilliant. So next time you're in the shower, just take a moment and lift your arm up into the air and feel underneath your armpit. And then neck all around your boob, because it's easy with soapy water. And don't forget up around your neck and your collarbone, okay?
Yeah.
You know the way when you're poorly or sore throat, you'll get lumps in your neck?
If you
have a lump around your collarbone, there shouldn't be one there normally. Get it changed. Right. Okay? So you can do that in both breasts.
And would you say the same for your armpits as well? If you feel any lump under your armpit, that is a similar sign. So please get that checked as well.
So that's what we do. So something, we feel something. So that's an easy way to check. And I'm
definitely
sure you shower regularly. But you don't have to do it every time. sometimes people say, well, when my period starts, if they still have a period, or they pick a day of the month that suits them. And you can, if you feel something, and you're a younger woman and it's maybe related to your period, if it's still there 2 weeks later, then it's not hormonal. And that's
right.
Get checked out. So some ladies are a bit shy about touching the boobs. So another way to do it is just looking in the mirror. So maybe go into a room with a long mirror, maybe the bathroom has a mirror or your bedroom. Lock the door, take your kit off, and just stand in front of the mirror with a good light on. And lift your arms up above your head and lower them down. And then turn sideways so that you look at the side of your boob. And then turn the other way and keep lifting your arms up and down. And what you're looking for is any change in the shape. Do I see a dimple? Do I see a lump? Do both nipples go in the same direction when I move my arms? Or does one go cockeyed? You know, and you sort of think, has that wasn't like that last month. So therefore, And then nipples, a lot of people should know that your nipple can be flat, stick out, or inverted. That's normal. If it's like that all the time, no problem. But if you see it change, so a nipple that is drawn in over 2 or 3 weeks and doesn't come out cold and doesn't change, that is definitely a sign that you need to get checked out.
Certainly. And just to add on to that, it's quite evident that what we're trying to say is any change in your breast that is persistent and remaining for a longer period. So it's like for more than 2 to 3 weeks, that's when you really need to start thinking that something may be wrong and I need to see my GP. And the key tips that Julie's just given about checking your breast in front of the mirror or while you're in the shower, it's about, you know, knowing of the changes in terms of what they look like, for example, or what they feel like. Because sometimes you might not feel something, but you might visibly see a change. And sometimes you might not visibly see a change, but there is something that you can feel for. So, you know, doing or practicing both as part of our day-to-day life, I think it's quite easy to, you know, incorporate that and make sure we're taking care of our health and seeking the medical advice or help that we need when required as well.
Yeah. So there's a couple of good apps. So knowyourlemons.com, they will
tell
you how to check. Breast Cancer Now also have an app. Or you can go onto the website and they'll show you how to check. Again, sometimes people are scared about going on a website that has the word cancer in it. You know, but so that's why we've got a different choice. There's another good one, which is Copper Feel, and they are aimed at younger people. Their target is 18 to 25 year olds, basically. So they work
in
universities. Their videos tend to be more entertaining, definitely not serious, but there's some good ones and some good ones that have men in them as well, showing you how to
check.
So I have various different ones that I like to use depending on my audience, and some that I love to share, but I think ladies might not like that one. I certainly try to do them with a bit of humor. You know, breast cancer is a very serious topic, but loads of people survive and live for years afterwards, even with people who have got secondaries where the advanced cancer spread, they can live for years and years and years and die of old age.
Absolutely. And I think, like, with breast cancer, there's so many advancements when it comes to the treatment. We've got hormonal therapy, targeted therapies, chemotherapy, you know, and a vast number of treatments, which, of course, for some types of breast cancer aren't effective. So that does limit the choices. But there's so many ongoing trials which have been life-changing for some women. I mean, they've gone on to live for so many years that they originally weren't expecting. So I think there's a lot of hope in this particular, you know, cancer with regards to research and treatment. So we don't really want anyone listening feeling like, you know, a cancer diagnosis is the end. It's not the end. There's so much hope out there. And it's just about having that positive mindset when you are going into a journey like this as well.
Absolutely, because the survival rates have doubled in the last 40 years. And as you said, they're continuing to improve. And if you thinking about men, testicular cancer now is curable.
That's incredible. Yeah.
We keep working. And there's many, as you say, there's many different types of breast cancer. So it's, yeah, let's see. Most of them give you a good chance. You'd asked me some other questions when we were thinking about this.
I think it'd be nice to know, maybe talk about diagnosing breast cancer through like screening. And because you're a specialist in this area and you specifically work to deliver this service, would you like to maybe share with our listeners when you're eligible for screening, what it involves?
Yeah, just a quick run through. And I've got some good videos, which maybe you can share as well, which we can do
definitely
video later. But basically, women aged 50 to 70 are invited once every 3 years for a breast mammogram or breast X-ray.
Right.
For the first timers, we promise to invite you once before you're 53.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be 50, you might be 49, or you might be 52, but we'll get you somewhere along there. We don't invite you just because it's your birthday, but when you're inviting all of the women from your GP practice, everybody will get an invite.
And is that in the form of a letter?
Yes, it's a nice worded English written letter. So
right.
If the first language isn't English, you might be at a disadvantage. But if you're watching, so again, there's 80 different breast screening units around the four countries of the United Kingdom. And breast screening is offered in many, many countries now as well. And you get invited and it'll be, please ring in to make an appointment. So here in Bradford, we've got four mobile units. So usually when we invite you, there is a unit nearish where you live.
So. Perfect. And, you know, through your work, are there any inequalities that you've seen in the screening uptake within maybe your local area of Bradford?
Yeah. So first, going back to the first time we invite women, if you've got a really good uptake, it's only about 50%. Of the
right
you attend for the first time, that would be good. It just can be mostly is a lot lower than that. Say in a GP practice where we know that there's a lot of people from mixed races and mixed cultures, we will get a low uptake. If they are more educated or more indigenous population, they tend to have a higher uptake. So, for example.
Right.
In North Yorkshire, settle in Bentham and up there, you can get the up 80% and more as the uptake. Whereas if we move Dewsbury, there's a practice can be as low as 44% uptake.
Right.
There's lots of reasons. Can be that it's the English letter. So ladies can be, you know, I'm busy working, I haven't time for myself, I have too many other things that I need to be doing, or I'm looking after somebody else. So there's lots of things.
Julie, can you just repeat those points? Because I think it kind of, there was some interference. So the points of why the uptake may be low.
So uptake may be low because ladies are too busy working. They're too busy after somebody else or their children and they haven't time to go. Maybe they're in a job where they don't think they can get time off work easily. they say, well, I can't see anything and I can't feel anything, therefore I don't need to go. Or, it's, you know, we make up excuses for why we don't need to go.
Absolutely.
Well, women checkups find those little things that we can't see or feel, and at least then they're really small. It's a bit like the princess in the bed has the pee under it, if you know that fairy story. Even you, and she got it checked out. So that's we're looking for those little peas under all those mattresses. So no, we're not peeing with breast, but we are looking for that little bit of seed. So you know the way, have you ever cut open a lemon? And inside there's always a seed or a pip. But if you don't cut, if you look at that lemon when you're buying it, you can't see or feel that pip. And that's why you go for these well women for your cervical screening, your bowel test, just to make sure that I know somebody else is checking inside me to make sure I'm okay. And I go for reassurance. And the majority.
Absolutely.
So if one out of every eight women may develop breast cancer in their lifetime, seven of us are going to be okay, and seven of us are going to get reassurance. And then from being aware, for telling our friends we've been for screening, whichever one it was, maybe I might give my friend a nudge and she'll think, oh, yeah, maybe I should go. And she's the one that really needed to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think I just want to like echo a couple of points that you said in regards to why women might not attend screening. And it's because they're busy, for example, looking after their families, or because they're at work and they think they can't get time off work. But I think that's a big misconception, because they should be able to take that time off work to look after their health. And if they do have families they want to look after, I think and one of the key things I always mention is you can't pour from an empty cup. You need to be filling yourself, looking after yourself, giving yourself that self-care, which involves going to your screening appointments so that you're healthy enough to look after your families as well. And I think as women in particular, you tend to neglect that self-care, that particular aspect, and it is not going to help you in the long term. So, you know, please do attend a screening and make time for yourself, because this a gift of health, I would say, you know, if you were to lose it, you wouldn't be able to go to work or attend to your family. That just won't be possible. So priorities, I think, is something we need to focus on and remind ourselves at all times. And I hope that this podcast and this conversation with Julie is a reminder for you to look after yourself and prioritize your health as well, because it's not permanent. It can be affected for, you know, at any time for any of us, really.
Absolutely. So yeah, get out there. I often say, because again, sometimes in some communities where grandma is busy looking after everybody else and doing the school run, and maybe she doesn't know, maybe she doesn't have English, maybe she's just been working, and there are many cultures around the world where some women end up getting not learning the language for lots of different reasons, but she's the one that's doing the shopping, doing the cooking, minding the kids while the younger women go out to work. And so she doesn't go for her screening because she can't get time off. But what I try to say to women is that if she waits until she's got an advanced cancer, she's not going to be there to do all those jobs. And so you're much better off making sure that those older women in your communities do get checked out so you can keep them working, even though I hate saying it like that.
But definitely, I completely agree with that. And like, even with the letter, like we talked about how it's a full English letter sent out, and that may be a potential barrier, that language barrier, which prevents so many women who don't speak English as their first language from accessing the service and booking that appointment. So, you know, do you maybe have any ideas of how we can overcome those language barriers and reach those communities of ethnic minorities in particular, for example, in the Bradford Dewsbury area? How could we overcome this particular issue? Do you have any ideas?
Yes, my favourite idea, if you can get onto the radio stations that the women are listening to. I've been told, there's a couple of things, but I'm told that the ladies, the ones that aren't engaging, are probably at home listening to local language radio stations. Let's share the information there. In many groups have women WhatsApp groups. And a lot of ladies then, so like this is what the Smart Cancer champions are trying to do is share information with your friends. A lot of women forget to share that information on those WhatsApp groups, or maybe they're shy. I don't know why they're shy, because what you're going to do is you're going to save somebody's life. So please don't be shy. So yeah, radio stations, get the information out there. I will happily help you. And using all your WhatsApp groups as well for those women who aren't. Because again, what a lot of times I hear, well, they're not on social media. They don't. A lot of them have smartphones. The other good message to younger people is, when you give grandma your smartphone that you no longer use, please show her how to use it.
I agree. And like, what about maybe a letter being sent out in different languages to cater to the needs of the community? If there's, for example, a higher proportion of people speaking a language, like Urdu, maybe sending a letter out in that language, could that potentially be something we can accommodate for?
Well, we could, but the system doesn't record person's main language.
Right. Okay.
So the NHS, when you register at your GP, you will probably record your ethnicity there. But for all the well person screenings, they don't pick that up. And you could have one ethnicity and speak a different language anyway. And then there's so many.
Yeah.
People put up lots of barriers to using that. There's many different barriers that have been spread out over the years. However, I would like to see an easy read version that's sent out to everybody. The other thing we have to do is educate maybe people who are reading mail for other members of family. With well person screening, the NHS messages, it is your choice to attend. Okay, if I tell my 15-year-old son it's his choice whether he does his homework or not, I can tell you it will be, he's not going to bother if it's not important. So sometimes I think we have to change our language to suit the culture that we're speaking with. And that's something that I would really like to see, easy read. So if we knew, and we do know which practices would have a high, we wouldn't know what the culture was, but we'd know they'd have a high Asian or we would know Asian if people recorded South Asian heritage.
Right.
We wouldn't know that. But if there's any other races, we would not know about that, just because in this country, people from South Asian heritage are the highest group of people. So digital messaging is coming in. If people get a message on their phone, and again, using smartphones, they can often read out letters. But again, people don't know that they can do this. So it's again showing people how to read. So the hospitals are all nowadays using more and more text messages, which can be read out in whatever language you want.
Right. So
let's start using technology better.
Instead of going,
I don't know how to use it. But get somebody in the house will know how to use it. So yeah, so more IT lessons for, well, women in particular, because I know my son sometimes has to show me how to do things.
So if anyone's a young listener who's tuned in today, educate your grandma or older women and men in the house and how to use technology more confidently. I think it's a bit about confidence as opposed to not understanding. And once they're confident, they'll probably be more of an expert than you are as well.
Absolutely.
And most importantly, you could potentially save a life by doing that. So that's a good lesson to give out today.
Yeah.
And finally, I think another point I just want to mention in today's episode is the Be Breast Aware 5-point sort of plan that is found on the NHS website. So it sort of gives a couple of tips on how women and men even should be breast aware so that they're noticing anything that's not quite normal for them. And I think I'll just quickly run through those 5 points, which are similar to what Julie have mentioned. But I guess, reiterating the point is very important, so that hopefully we motivate a lot of you to, if you're eligible, book your breast cancer screening appointment. So the number one point is to know what's normal for you. And I think that's definitely something Julie mentioned. It is knowing what is a normal part of your body's physiology. When your breasts are normal, you know, what do they look like? What do they feel like? So that's the number one point. And number two is to look at your breasts and feel them. And again, this is exactly what Julie was explaining to us when she said to examine your breasts when you're in the shower, for example, or to look at your breasts in the mirror, because it's all about, like I said, linking onto the first point, knowing what's normal for you and picking up on anything like you can see that is visibly different or that feels different. Number three is to know what changes to look out for. So again, Julie very kindly signposted us to the website. Would you like to re-mention the website?
Yeah.
Before I talk.
Knowyourlemons.com and Breast Cancer Now and Copperfield.
Perfect. And then the next point is to report any changes that you do notice, both visibly or upon feeling, to your GP without delay, because any delay, like you say, could potentially cost your life. And then finally, attend routine screening if you're eligible. So anyone listening, if you're 50 years or over and you've not had your first screening, especially if you've not had your first appointment, you know, you should have this before the age of 53 years. So please do attend your screening appointment and get this booked. Even during the pandemic, you know, you're a high priority group. So definitely engage with your local GP practice, book that appointment, or get your daughter, for example, or your son to book that appointment for you, because your health does come first. And I will very quickly want to ask Julie to maybe talk a bit more about examining your breasts and how that may be variable for women of different sizes and shapes, because, you know, all women have varied shapes and sizes of breasts as well. So would that have an impact on how easy it is to conduct a breast examination, or how you would do that?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. No woman is the same as her friend. We are all different. Mm-hmm. Sizes, different textures, different colors, different shapes. So tends to be, if you're a smaller breasted lady, it's probably you'll feel it's easier to check because there's less to check, but you still have to check under your armpit, all around your breast tissue, right up to your collarbone. So if a lady is heavier breasted or fuller breasted or bigger breasted, she can still do all of those, but sometimes if she's checking in the mirror, she'll have to lift her breast so she can see underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is when she lays down in bed and lifts her arm up above her head, then the breast tissue changes in position, so it's easier for her to check the whole area. So the bigger your breast, you have just more tissue that you have to check, and you can just check it again in any way that works for you. Once a month is all you need to do.
Perfect. And you know, like, something I think would be helpful for our listeners is to, like, feel it on the first. So every first day of the month, just make sure that you designate that to check your breasts, and maybe just mark that on your calendar so that you don't forget. And thank you so much, Julie, for the tips for women of different sizes of breasts, so that, you know, we're examining our breasts in the correct way and picking up on any abnormalities before they do become something more serious. And now, you know, just as we come to the end of the episode, I think it'd be really nice to talk about something that's very important, and that is breast cancer in men, because although it does affect older women over 50 years of age, it's more commonly seen in this group. It does also affect, like we said, younger women, but also men. So is there any message that you'd like to give to the men who are listening today in terms of how they can look after themselves and maybe examine their breasts as well?
Yes. So that's why we say we need to be breast and chest aware, because we all have different shapes and sizes. We all have different life events. So being chest aware is just as important for a man, or they sometimes talk about it being pec aware, check your pecs. So again, using your hands, just feeling all around, checking your nipple, making sure there's no discharge, and knowing what is normal for you. So a lot of guys get men boobs. That happens as they get older. That's okay, as long as there's you don't feel something different in the skin texture or change. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some men who are on medication can get an enlarged breast tissue on one side. They will go and get checked out. So a hard one is for them is that they end up going to a breast clinic and they may be the only man. If he brings a woman with them, or maybe not. So that we know is an issue. But once it's not diagnosed as cancer, then he will be seen in a different clinic as well. So
right.
We know that. So people say, well, why isn't there screening for them? Well, then out of 55,000 new cases of breast cancer every year, only 400 would be men. So that's why there isn't a screening program for men, but we try to raise awareness. So gentlemen, be breast and chest and pec aware. Check under your armpit, check your breast tissue, check right up to your collarbone, and don't be shy to go to your GP. Now, I'll tell you a little story. GP shared with me this guy, he'd been going, he'd had a dressing on his knee, something with his leg, and he'd been in a number of times to get the dressing changed. And this last time, it was his last visit. And just as he hesitated, he had his hand on the door. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to check with you about this lump in my breast. And so a lot of GPs are caring and they know that. And a lot of people hear the message, only have one symptom. We have only short time, only share one symptom. And so people can be put off sharing that little thing that is maybe embarrassing for them or they're not sure about. And please, every GP, every radiographer, every mammographer, every pharmacist, you're not telling us something that we haven't heard before. It's sad, but we are there and we all want to just signpost you in the right direction to get these things checked out. So if you've got an opportunity to feel somebody else's chest, go for it. And if you find something unusual, please get them checked out.
Definitely. And just like you said, it's nothing to be embarrassed of when talking to a healthcare professional, because we've heard and seen everything already. And it's something that, you know, you kind of need to accept before you go out and seek that help. And I think once you do that, you will feel like a huge burden has been lifted off your chest, quite literally, you know, because you know that the help is there and you're finally seeking that help. And this person is by all means going to make you feel positive about the whole experience and respect your dignity, as opposed to make you feel uncomfortable, because that's definitely not the intentions of any healthcare professionals. And, you know, just to wrap things up, Julie, is there a final message you want to give out to our listeners today regarding breast cancer screening, self-exam, anything really?
Know what's normal for you. When you get up in the morning and you look at your face and you think, oh, I need to go to bed earlier, get to know your body just as well as you know your face. Take your kit off and get to know it. Get to know what it looks like and feel like, and know what's normal for you. Then if something is different, you can get it checked out.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Julie, for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you speak so passionately about what you do. And, you know, I'm sure it would have motivated a lot of people to pick up their phone, book their appointment for breast screening, or for the younger people to maybe educate the women and men around them regarding breast cancer and how picking it up earlier, getting that early diagnosis, can literally save their lives. So thank you so much once again. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by the West Yorkshire and Harrogate Cancer Alliance and patient-led charity, the Yorkshire Cancer Community. To find out more, visit us on our website. That's www.yorkshirecancercommunity.co.uk/cancersmile. Thank you.